FreeMusicEd.org podcast.
Hi, Stephen.
Hi. Hello again. Yes. We're going to start today by talking about, in episode number one, choosing what instrument you want to play and looking into purchasing that. Plausibly.
Possibly or plausibly? Plausibly.
Plausibly. it's going to happen. Okay. So we start like this. Why on earth would you want to play an instrument? This seems like a really elementary question, but there's got to be 5,000 different answers to this question. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I started playing an instrument, trombone, because I wanted to be cool.
And you picked trombone?
It did not work out well.
That's right. Okay. Yes. And I started playing my first instrument because I went into band, and my parents were divorced, and my mother had played clarinet in band, my dad had played trombone in band, and I thought if I picked the saxophone, then neither one of them would think that I was favoring them. I thought that was the compromise. is that the worst reason ever to play an instrument?
I don't know. Not many people like saxophone players, so I guess it works out.
It works. I thought if I play saxophone, no one will love me. Yeah, no. Anyway, so there's a lot of different reasons. Let's take a look at a couple. I would say that probably the most important reason to take up an instrument is to pick up chicks.
Absolutely.
Right. Because women love trombonists, right?
Sure.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's probably not the best reason to take up an instrument. It's not always effective. I will say that through most of my high school career, I played the clarinet. There were some guys that would make fun of me for playing clarinet. But they didn't understand. See, I was sitting in a section, and I got to hang out with these 20 girls. And I thought that was pretty studly of me, actually. But anyway, that's how I felt. Okay, so maybe not a great thing. Here's my brother's reason for learning to play guitar. My brother decided he wanted to learn to play guitar so that he could become a rock star.
I want to be a rock star.
That's right. That was his plan. It's so far, he's not a rock star. But, you know, I mean, another 10, 15 years, I'm sure that won't be changing.
Just like for everybody else who wants to be a rock star.
Some people are rock stars, but that's not a great reason to pick up an instrument, because it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, and you don't have to be very good either.
Here is another great reason, and by great reason, like the last two, we mean not a great reason, and that is to make money. I am going to play the bagpipes so that I can make lots and lots of money. No.
Oh, yes. Hey, I have a New Year's gig this year.
You do?
I want to make $200.
$200? You mean you're going to only have to sacrifice spending New Year's with your loved ones to play for how many hours?
We play three, but we're going to be there for four.
So, okay, and where is this?
Abilene.
In Abilene. So you're going to travel an hour from where you live, nearly, to play for 4 hours for $200. So let's see, working in gas and expenses. You're probably doing a little bit better than minimum wage right there. And how many of those gigs have you had this month?
That one.
Right. Okay. So that's kind of how it goes. As a gigging musician, some people do make an okay living at it, but those guys have hours that are all over the place. It's not very good money. And people who are doing it and are surviving at that type of level, you know, just a freelance musician in a big city. First of all, they're going to have to be in a big city. That's one of the reasons that Gannon and I aren't gigging a lot, is because we're out in a rural area. That's right, rural area. And there aren't a whole lot of gigs. But, not going to make a whole lot of money playing an instrument usually. There are some exceptions. If you become a world-class musician and you're willing to do those incredibly strange hours and travel all the time, then you can make a decent living. Some people have made a very good living. So that's not as ridiculous as be a rock star, because most of the people that are making a good living don't qualify as rock stars.
No, definitely not. I know several. They are not rock stars.
You know.
They're cool people.
So to make money out of the three that we've listed as far as picking up chicks and becoming a rock star, probably more feasible than the other two. Not that chicks don't dig musicians, you know.
No, they do.
They do. They do.
My fiance definitely digs me.
That's right. My wife tends to love me, you know. But at any rate, let's see. To make money, be a rock star, pick up chicks. Let's look at some actual, real, legitimate reasons for learning to play an instrument. One of those would be something that I hear about a lot as a school teacher, and that is educational benefit to playing an instrument.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of studies out there that show that people's, you know, I don't know the technical terms, like their cognitive processes and just their ability to have good memory and good, faster, sharper skills and stuff with their brain. People who are in music tend to do better in those areas. I remember hearing Dell down in Austin, the Dell computer company, like 85% of those people, the technicians or practicing musicians or something like that.
Well, and there's always a causation versus correlation argument about that, and that is, are smarter people more inclined to play a musical instrument, or does playing a musical instrument make you a smarter person? You see this all the time. Constantly I hear quoted and bragged about is how much higher the all-state band and orchestra member SAT scores are than the all-state football team. Well, it may just be that those two different activities attract different types of people, not so much that those activities are responsible for it. Granted, there are far fewer concussions in band programs than there are in football programs.
Fewer, but not none.
Not none, but almost none. At any rate, there's a lot of questions about those type of statistics. However, I would say that some of the most valuable educational things that I've learned through playing an instrument are not only the cognitive and the coordination improvements that I think that I've gained through learning those types of skills, but also just learning how to build a skill, period. Learning to play an mm-hmm. instrument is a fine skill that requires hours of practice, and there's a lot of people who have not really built a skill set of their own that when they see a very skilled person, they start talking about magic and talent and all those different types of things that I don't believe exist. That what they don't see is that to do anything, it takes a whole lot of work. Not to scare you away from playing an instrument by saying that it's a whole lot of work, but that's a benefit. You learn how to do other things through learning how to play an instrument.
Yeah, you learn how to be good at life, in a way.
Yeah, so there's a lot of educational benefits. Now, most people that I know don't, however, sit there and go, you know, I think that I will learn to play an instrument because I believe that there would be some educational benefits, but the state feels that way. So if you're a young person walking into a school music program, well, then that might be a big selling point for you.
Yeah. I bet you were like that in sixth grade.
I bet I was like, oh, look, what an educational opportunity lies before me.
You were probably like that.
Yeah, I hope not. But probably. Okay, here's another possibility, and I think this is a great reason to learn to play an instrument. Not the best, but a good reason, and that is making music with other people.
I could argue that that actually could be the best reason.
Ooh, argument! Now this is something.
You know, there's a lot of people who get into amateur musicianship, and especially around here, we're in the middle of Texas. Lots of country music going on, lots of people learning to play
bluegrass.
Bluegrass and country and stuff like that. And I play with people like that. Actually, I just did this morning. And, you know, music is a form of communication. It's a way that we express things that aren't necessarily expressible in words. And it's a fantastic outlet for the creative mind. And people really enjoy getting to do that with other people. And there's a mandolin player that I play with at church. Can't read music, can't do anything like that, but he's a fantastic player and plays bluegrass jams all the time. And some of the people that are in those things are good and some of them are not, but they have a hoot. It's a great time. I have not used the word have a hoot.
Gosh. Have a hoot.
I don't know if I've ever said that before.
Well, you're being recorded now, so of course you'll be saying words like hoot.
Brain does weird things. Stop it, brain. So anyway, there's a huge benefit to getting to network with people who have those similar interests in you. I mean, that's how we met. And developed a relationship, and it's incredibly beneficial. And communicating to an audience and communicating with the musicians that you're playing with is one of the sole purposes of playing in the end.
Well, I've got to say that some of my most meaningful relationships in life have been through people that I've made music with as well. So my wife and I met in a musical ensemble. Those were our first experiences with each other. That's kind of interesting in college.
Yeah.
You know, one of my biggest mentors in life is Mr. Gocher, who I met, you know, who was my teacher, who we played instruments and have played lots of different venues together. And I think that that's enhanced those different types of relationships. So, yeah, I think you're right. There's a great deal to that. I know my dad plays guitar in a bluegrass thing, and I'll probably bring him up a lot because I think he's a very interesting musician in that, you know, he's just okay. But, man, he has so much fun making music with other people and meeting other people and just seeing what their skills are and watching those things grow. It's a pretty cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, while you might be arguing that that's the best reason, and, you know, it's a pretty good reason, I think that maybe a reason that is every bit as powerful, if not more powerful, is just being completely and totally inspired by hearing somebody play an instrument. I know that while that was not the reason that I learned to play certain instruments, it's the only reason that I had the drive to practice to gain a great deal of proficiency was because I saw people who played those instruments and was inspired by what they did. I think that you can say, oh, I'd really like to do this, 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 and this. But unless something inspires you to play an instrument, hearing that instrument, seeing someone play that instrument, that you're never going to be successful with it. And that's why I would say that's the biggest, most important reason to pick to play an instrument is just being inspired by musicians.
So you're saying, like, you hear that sound, you just go, wow, that's beautiful. Or that's just incredible. It lights me up, and I want to be able to do that.
Yeah, having a connection where, let's say you see a violinist and you just go, oh my goodness, the sound that they're producing is so beautiful, and that touches me in such a way that I really see myself producing that same type of sound, and I think that that could be meaningful to me and to other people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's hugely powerful.
But what would that sound be without other people to play it with?
Okay, it's deep. There you go. What would it be without other people?
Sitting in your room practicing all the time going, I sound so great.
That's right.
Gets old.
There's some people that like that, though. There's some people that are terrified of other people.
Yeah, narcissists.
Yeah. Well, or introverts, you know.
Introverted narcissists.
Well, okay. at any rate, I really think being inspired is big, but there's one other thing, and this is a super legitimate reason, and I hope that this reason excites you, and that's that playing an instrument is really fun. I can think of nothing that I enjoy doing more than playing an instrument. I mean, that's why I decided to dedicate my life to being a musician and to teaching music and studying music. So I just love it. It lights me up and touches me in a way that nothing else does.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always felt that way. There's... It taps into a certain part of the soul that other things just don't reach. Nope. They get close, but it's just one of those things that if you're inspired to do it, it will enrich your life in a way that other things just can't.
And there's people that disagree with that and have never really connected with playing an instrument. And I feel like they're just missing something incredible. And it's probably the same way that I've never really connected with watching professional sports. Without going into detail, I like playing sports. I have a good time. I like watching live sports. But man, it hasn't connected with me in such a way that I'll tune in on Sunday afternoons.
And by playing sports, he means dropping the ball.
I was good over at that, and over. Probably. You know, whichever sport, that's a good thing. That's the sport I was doing. At any rate, it's really a neat thing, playing an instrument. And I'm not saying that every single part of learning to play an instrument and working hard is always the most fun, but it's always worth it. It's always worth it. There's people that get excited about playing an instrument, and they never get past the first couple humps that you go into. So as you start to play an instrument for the first time, it's not always easy. You have to start slow, and it's a little meticulous. And some people who only put in a little bit of time early on, they stuck in that stage for a long time and can't get past it. But once you develop even the least amount of skill on an instrument, it's just a blast.
Yeah, and that's what's cool about around here, the bluegrass jams and stuff like that, is that you don't have to be just stellar to be able to sit in with the group and play and have a really great time doing it, you know? You know only three chords on your guitar, but you get in there and jam with people, and it's a lot of fun. We played a wedding. When was that wedding? October?
maybe.
Yeah, it was October 6th.
It seems like it. It was, you know, we were going along with 80-degree weather every single day, then all of a sudden, like 42 degrees outside and stormy for one day.
Oh, and it was misty and it was cold. It was miserable. And I was playing bass, of course, something that involves the hands. But,
Yeah, I was only playing clarinet.
That doesn't involve your hands.
All right, you're crazy.
But we were playing with all sorts of musicians from the Cowboy Church who had a little left to be desired, you know, in the terms of technical skill and stuff like that. But man, they loved to play.
We were having a blast.
We had a great time playing with them, you know. It was fun. It was just really fun. You know, we had people of all sorts of ability levels there, and it still worked out great. Still had a good time.
Yeah, me too. It was good. So anyway, playing an instrument's fun. It's good. So that's those reasons, the last few especially, are the best possible reasons for playing an instrument. Here's something that's pretty good, is if you decide you want to play an instrument, how do you decide what instrument you should actually play? Because there's hundreds of different musical instruments you could play. They're all over the place. And so what happens with me, since I work with kids a lot, I always get this weird question. They say, which instrument is the easiest? That's they walk in and they go, what instrument do you want to play? Well, I don't know which one's the easiest. First of all, that breaks my heart a little bit, because I'm like, well, what a silly reason to do something because it's easy. Anything worthwhile is a little bit hard. But the other side of that, and this is what I always tell them, and they're never satisfied with this answer. I say, whichever one you practice the most, that's the one that's the easiest.
That's a great answer.
Isn't that a good answer?
So I like that.
I've practiced thousands of hours on the clarinet and the saxophone, so those are the easiest instruments. But I've never played the bagpipes, so those are really hard.
Yeah, I would have to say I am definitely terrible at instruments that I don't practice.
Right? The ones I've never played, I'm really bad at those, but yeah. Really good at the ones I've played.
I know. I was just telling Mr. Gocher today, I had a bassoon come in the repair shop, and I got it fixed up, and I was test playing it to see if all the notes were working. And I was thinking to myself, who would play this thing on purpose?
The bassoon?
Yes.
It's got 11 thumb keys.
For one thumb.
Right. There's a lot of thumb keys.
That's an approximate number. Your hands are stretched down. You're in this awkward position. It's really hard to hold, and you're trying to play this really weird reed, and it sounds awful, and you're just incredibly uncomfortable trying to play this instrument, and it's going, who made this thing, and who would play it on purpose?
Well, and I mean, when you hear someone who plays bassoon really well, you can see what the allure is, because it's a beautiful and passionate instrument.
Yes, a bassoon is a gorgeous instrument when done well.
When done poorly, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the bazooka of the woodwinds.
Yes. Yeah. And then the scud is the oboe.
Right. Okay. Anyway, we can relate all of the musical instruments to various weapons of sorts. But, yes, so... what's going to be the easiest is not really a good answer. All the instruments have their own quirks. So, like, for example, when you play a wind instrument in particular, you're going to work for a long time just to make a characteristic sound, just to be able to make a clarinet or a saxophone or a trumpet just sound like that instrument's supposed to sound. Versus if you play the piano, you walk over there and you push a key, and it pretty much sounds like a piano. It's not going to just sound awful, if the piano works, of course.
Yes.
And, you know, there's lots of things piano players do to develop specific touch. And piano is a difficult instrument for other reasons, but producing a tone, not a big deal in many senses. Same thing with a lot of, you know, a lot of plucked instruments like the guitar. Now, while a lot of people seek to create their own tone, almost anyone can walk up to a guitar, rake a pick across the strings, and it pretty much sounds like a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Versus the first time someone picks up a saxophone, it sounds like you're being attacked by aliens, which is not really the sound that you want. And it may sound that way for weeks before it starts to sound really like a saxophone, if not longer.
Yeah. Yeah, every instrument has its own individual challenges.
So you can't pick an instrument based on how easy or how hard it is to play. And I've met people a lot of the time who will play an instrument for a while, and as soon as they realize it's going to be hard, decide, well, maybe there's another instrument I could play that could be easier. And those people are generally wrong, because that's just a bad mentality to take in learning to play an instrument.
Boy, it drives me nuts about bass guitar. You know, people say that about bass. Oh, I'll play bass. It's easier than guitar. Nope, it's not. It's a different instrument with different purpose. But it has its own challenges.
What those people mean, too, is that to play bass guitar really badly is easier than playing guitar really badly. is what they're suggesting. They're saying that guitar, you have to be able to press down lots of strings and make chords, versus a bass where you only have to push down one string and pluck that right string, and then you're hitting the right notes. And those people have no idea what the extent of those instruments are when they say things like that.
Yes.
Okay, so but here's some other things you might want to consider. So just throw out what's easier out of your mind. Something else you want to consider, too, is maybe your geographical location could work into this a bit. In that the opportunity to play country and Western guitar here is really big, but I don't know what the opportunity is in, say, Japan to play country and Western guitar all the time. Maybe there's a big... I don't know.
I don't know about Japan.
Well, it's not only will there be other musicians of your style of music? Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm a jazz fanatic. I think in New Orleans, I wouldn't be able to throw a rock without hitting someone who also liked jazz. But here in the middle of nowhere, Texas, there's a little bit of a concern as to how many people I can find that like jazz. I've playing a combo, and we're spread out across a 90-mile area.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty typical in this area. Jazz is a little bit harder to come by, but country western and rock music, not as much as country, but rock music. There's a lot of rock music, especially in Abilene. And there's a lot of people who play guitar in Brownwood that I know that aren't great, but they have a lot of playing opportunities.
Well, and the neat thing is, too, that even though it's not a popular thing, because I know this jazz combo and we can work, we're also the only jazz combo for, like, you know, 200 miles.
That's true.
So on the bright side, you know, if somebody really wants to find jazz music, they don't have a lot of options, which is always nice.
Yeah.
But so your geographical location could definitely work into that. Can you think of other things?
I think picking an instrument that kind of makes sense for you and your life at the time, as far as like how much money you have.
Ooh.
And what sort of space you have. You know, if you're living in a one-bedroom apartment with a whole bunch of other people, a drum set may not be the instrument for you.
It may be. You may not be able to practice. If it's something you can't practice at home, you're going to be in a little bit of trouble because you're just not going to practice much. That's true.
Yeah, you'll get evicted because you chose the wrong instrument.
That is a bit of an issue. Well, and the money thing works into it, too, because it's really, really hard on a budget of $100 to get a clarinet that even works. You know, much less a bassoon. A bassoon for $100, not going to happen. You get a bassoon that works, you're going to spend a few thousand dollars.
Well, at least,
or you're
yeah.
not going to have anything.
Yeah.
However, there's some beginner guitars that, you know, you can buy for $100 to a few hundred dollars that are okay, that aren't a bad way to start the guitar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Keyboards are another issue. So, you know, if again, maybe your lifestyle doesn't fit buying a grand piano right now. But there's ways to take a keyboard and make that work on a smaller budget. But it's got to be more than a guitar. You're not going to find a keyboard that you like for $100 that's worthwhile, are you?
No.
Not really.
No, not new at least.
So it's tricky. Harmonica. If you want to learn to play the harmonica, my goodness, you can get a decent harmonica for $20 or less.
Yeah, $20 will get you a pretty decent one.
Pretty decent harmonica.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
$50 will get you a really good one.
Holy cow. Like, you can get a decent ukulele for $50.
Yeah, you can get a pretty good ukulele for $50.
So budget will probably work into it, because if I were going to learn how to play an instrument and I liked one of these instruments that was cheap and could afford to do them, then I might hop on that. Whereas if there's something else I liked but I wouldn't be able to buy it for 3 years, well, I'm missing out on time right now that I could be playing an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Some other considerations are certain instruments are difficult to transport. The upright bass or the harp.
Yeah.
Very difficult instruments to transport. Same thing with the tuba. You know, even baritones are something you don't want to be carrying up and down the street. They're just, they're heavy and a pain in the neck.
Mm-hmm.
Literally pain in the neck or the back or...
Or...
Yeah. So, there's some issues with that too, don't you think?
Yeah.
So anyway, some thoughts there. Here's another one. How about musicianship goals? So what do I want to do as a musician? So here's a great example. If I really like to sing and I want to play an instrument that I can both play and sing at the same time, well, that's a different set of instruments, because you cannot play the trumpet and sing at the same time. Not really.
No.
It's not a thing.
No, not really. Not unless you're Louis Armstrong.
Right.
But he still didn't play and sing at the same time.
No, he broke them apart. You know,
yeah.
You know, I sing a bit, play trumpet a bit, go back and forth. I think his saying was, "Learn to sing, it saves your chops."
Yeah, that is a Louis thing. Learn to sing, kid. It saves your chops. Who did he tell that to? Was it Dizzy?
Who knows?
I think he was talking to Dizzy when he said that.
We don't know who he was talking to. That's a disclaimer. At any rate, playing guitar and playing piano and playing ukulele, playing banjo, mm-hmm. these are all instruments you can play and sing at the same time. I know people that play drum set and sing at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also the style of music that you're wanting to play.
Oh, that's true.
If you're really into, let's say, country and Western music, you don't want to learn to play the clarinet.
Right? I have had hardly any country and Western clarinet opportunities. Virtually nil.
That's not going to happen, you know.
Polka, yes. Country and Western, no. Jewish music, yes. Country and Western, no. weird instrument, the clarinet.
Which kind of gets into, you know, what even brings you into wanting to play an instrument to begin with is because you've heard instruments that you like. And you hear music and you go, wow, I really like this music. I like music in general. I really want to be a part of that. And there's something that brought you in that to begin with. And a lot of people, they hear a certain instrument and they just go, wow, I really want to play that instrument right there.
And so if that inspiration was your whole reason for learning how to play an instrument to begin with, well, then that really plays into what instrument you're going to play.
Yeah, it should be a no-brainer at that point. Some people are just destined to play a certain instrument.
It just seems like all the stars align. You love it. And here's something else that's a big deal for a lot of people, and that is, I want to play this instrument because there just so happens to be one in my closet. My Aunt Gertrude gave me one 2 years ago, and I've always wanted to learn what to do with it. Or my mother played the bass clarinet, and there's always been one in the basement, and so I'm wanting to pull that thing out and make some bass clarinet noises. If you already have the instrument, that could be a very powerful influence over whether or not you want to play it. Now, if you have an instrument, but you hate the way it sounds whenever you hear professionals play it, then it's still probably a bad decision.
Yeah, because you're never going to enjoy yourself playing it, although it could be kind of a gateway
instrument. Ooh, gateway instrument.
Yeah, that's a big topic
right now. Don't tell your parents.
A gateway drug into being a musician.
Right? Yeah, the gateway instrument. That's very weird. Okay, good. So all those things are going to play into what instrument to play. So hopefully by now you've kind of figured out what instrument you want to play, or at least that's all the practical advice I could possibly give you on what to play. So real quick, I'd like to discuss some general tips for if you're going to go out and purchase an instrument. If you're going to go out and buy that guitar or that trumpet or that thing that you feel like you're destined to play, what's just a couple of really good ideas about purchasing it?
Man, when it comes to buying a beginner instrument, quality is a big issue. You don't want to go too high or too low in quality. More important, you don't want to go too low. You go too low in quality and the instrument's going to be at a point where it starts to hold you back. It's not functioning properly where you can learn how to play on it. And in this world that we live in today, there are a lot of instruments made in other countries that rhyme with Shmina. That aren't always necessarily of a quality that you want to have in your hands to try and learn to play an instrument with.
Playing an instrument and wanting to play an instrument is a powerful calling. It attracts people, and people get really excited, and they go out and they buy the first thing they see. And sometimes it's not the best quality. Now, not to say that everything that's made in other countries isn't good, because some of the best instruments in the world are made in countries other than America. In fact, I don't know if I own an instrument that was made in America. I'm not sure if I do.
I own one.
There you go.
Two.
Well, so there's some instruments that are made in other places, but here's some basic tips to help you figure out what you should get. So first of all, if you're looking on the internet and you see a whole range of musical instrument prices, so let's say you can buy an instrument for, you know, $50, $150, or $5,000, or, you know, all different ranges in there, well, probably the stuff on the very bottom is going to be the stuff you're going to want to stray away from.
Yeah.
Especially really low-quality instruments that are used as well. Putting both those factors together can be very bad. What I tend to recommend to most of my students is to get intermediate models. And usually they're labeled that way. They're labeled as intermediate model instruments.
Mm-hmm. In the band and orchestra world, they are.
Right, sorry. That's true. Well, I've seen that labeling on some guitars and such.
Sometimes.
Or if you walk into a store and you say you want something of intermediate quality, they'll instantly take you to things that are in middle range of prices.
Right. And that right there, that's the key. When you're starting to buy a new instrument and you're just now diving into this, most people don't have a lot of experience in the subject at all, and they don't even know what's good and what's not. And
Or what makes a good instrument? What makes an instrument mechanically sound versus...
Yeah, you'll run into all this fancy wording and stuff, especially on eBay. They'll throw all this stuff out there that they make sound real fancy, but it's really just standard stuff that should be on the instrument just for it to function.
That's right.
And so you, if in any way possible, you need to find somebody who is
knowledgeable,
somewhat of an expert on the subject, has knowledge. If you need to go to a store, a music store somewhere, and just talk to people, if you know a music teacher, a band director, anything like that, you should talk to people who play that instrument or know a lot about that instrument before you go out and really just start digging around and buying, because, man, there's a lot of junk out there.
One of the topics we're going to be discussing very soon is different ways to go about learning to play an instrument. Whether that be through taking lessons or classes or all those different types of things. Well, if you already know the answer to that before you buy your instrument, then you instantly have a resource.
Mm-hmm.
You have a resource through other people that you're working with, whoever's going to be teaching you to play this instrument, or at very least, you probably have internet access because you're a human being alive in the world in, you know, this year, 2013, or whatever year it may be.
Mm-hmm.
That was deep. And you have internet access, so start researching. Doing some serious research, you'll start to figure out if things are worth buying or not. And, you know, read lots of reviews, talk to lots of different people. And again, you're probably going to want something of intermediate quality. A lot of times, things that are labeled beginner instruments are actually pretty terrible instruments.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad ones.
And it's not universally true. There's plenty of exceptions. But since I can't tell you about all the thousands of different instrument brands and types, you really got to find someone who's knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. But used instruments are a real good way to go, especially in the band orchestra world.
Oh, true.
I think used
there's
instruments
so many.
Are fantastic. And, you know, in the band orchestra side, go to your music stores and talk to them about what they're doing. Because in Texas, I don't know how it is in other states, but in Texas it's normal that music stores have some really great rent-to-own programs.
That's true.
Where you can just pay off the instrument over time, and you'll have a better quality one that does cost a little bit more, but you can pay it out over time. And around here, man, they're not charging interest. It's a real loose contract. You know, if you don't want the horn, you can just give it back to them, and they just stop payments and stuff like that.
And that's such a great deal.
It's incredible.
If you're unsure that you really want to commit $1,000 to playing the clarinet, for example, but you'd really like to have a $1,000 instrument, well, you can do one of these rent-to-own programs. Rent it monthly. If 2 months down the road you're like, well, this was a bad idea, you just give it back and you're done. Or you keep playing this instrument at a low monthly cost, and then at some point you own it and it's yours.
Mm-hmm. That's how I got my first one.
That's great. I've never actually done a rent-to-own program. I was lucky enough to be in schools that the school provided a rental instrument, but my instrument was pretty low quality, and it did hold me back to some extent.
Yeah.
I had a big improvement in my quality of playing whenever I finally purchased a decent instrument.
Yeah, makes a big difference having a good instrument.
It does. So I hope that gives you some pretty good ideas. Go ahead, check out the website, freemusiced.org. We should have information on almost any instrument that you want to play, or at least a place to find that information on the internet.
Or just shoot us an email.
Shoot us an email. That's right. There's a contact link on freemusiced.org. Just go up to contact, fill it out, send me an email. There's also a forum. Right now, the forum is kind of vacant because I've just now added it. Ask a question, and I personally will come and answer your question on the forum, or someone who types like me will answer it. And so expect typos. But
a trained monkey.
A trained monkey with a typewriter will be putting Shakespeare into your answer. So...
We found the one.
It's true. So, at any rate, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Hope it was at least mildly informative, and I hope that someone is listening to this. I'm sure you are. So, I hope
I will be at least.
You will be. Yeah, yes. I'm listening to this.
We have two listeners so far.
That's right. We're good people. Have a wonderful time, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
See ya. Goodbye. Keep practicing, guys.